Thank you for joining us online. We are in Mark chapter 8. The journey continues. Now, Jesus was a good teacher. Now, he was more than that, but he was definitely not less than that. He was a good teacher. What he did, he actually did a pretty neat thing, is that he would use objects around him to bring out the points of Scripture, to bring out kingdom principles. He learned this, I think, from his father, who spoke to Abraham and said, "Hey, Abraham, look to the skies and count the stars, right? Pick up the sand on the seashore and count the grains of sand. Look at the dust, so I shall make your descendant." So God uses the things around us to speak to us. And Jesus did the same thing. And he did this to a group of disciples in our passage today. And it reminds me of a time I taught children's church one time. Years ago, I was in grad school. And I got kind of shoulder tapped to say, "Hey, would you teach children's church?" I think it might have been middle school boys. I can't remember exactly the age of the kids, but it was a young group of guys. And I learned from my children that if I wasn't exciting, if I didn't use objects, if I didn't tell stories, they wouldn't pay attention. So I was ready, man. I was teaching, and I've been doing some graduate work on the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of imagery, if you've ever looked at Scripture, especially in Luke and Acts, at the words that Luke tries to describe encounters with the Holy Spirit. He uses a plethora of different verbs, and some of those are the Spirit would come on you. Some of those were you will be baptized in the Spirit. Some of that you will be filled with the Spirit. And so I'm trying to communicate these to these kids. And so I got a doll, and I talked about baptism. You know, I'm ducking them in water. I'm taking like the bucket of water. Saying, now, if we're going to get baptized in the Spirit, obviously God's not going to pick us up and put us in the Spirit. The Spirit's going to have to like fall on us. So I poured the water over the doll. And then I had this friend with that who was just very energetic. And there's this passage in Acts that talks about the Spirit coming on you. And so I walked across the room, and my friend ran across the room, and he jumped and just tackled me from behind. I stayed up, but I walked. See, that's the Spirit coming on you, you know. I'm trying to demonstrate all this stuff. And at the end, I said, "All right, guys, are you ready? We're going to pray for you to encounter the Spirit." And this is what they all gathered around. I could just see fear and trepidation in their eyes. And one of them just was boldness said, "I'm scared." It was a great imagery message, but they weren't ready. They weren't ready for my antics, and I failed them in my illustration. And Jesus, in some ways, and I think as we look at this today, you're going to hear the message of Jesus and see, and some of you can say, "I'm scared." Or we can say, "Man, bring it on, right? We want this." But I don't think that we can probably maybe fall in between those. So let's read, and I'm going to hopefully step on all of our toes this morning, because that's what Jesus was doing, right? If Jesus is stepping on toes in a passage, and your toes aren't stepped on, I'm probably not preaching what Jesus is saying. So let's look at Mark chapter 8, verse 14 through 21. "Now they had forgotten to bring bread. They had only one loaf with them in the boat." Now, let's just stop right there. Many of us have made mistakes. We've forgotten things. We've been unprepared. You know what's neat about this passage? That Jesus doesn't count you out because of that. That just because you made mistakes or unprepared or you're not where you're supposed to be doesn't mean that God's given up on you. Doesn't mean that you're not a part of what he wants to do. And this is his caution. And he cautioned them saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. So Jesus was looking over, he sees a loaf of bread, and he goes, "Guys, look at this. Be careful. Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod." And they were freaking out, they were afraid, they didn't have bread. And then began discussing with themselves, and Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that our hearts would not be hard. Give us eyes that we might see, ears that we might hear, a mind that we might understand what you're speaking to your church, what you're speaking to us individually. Help us not miss what you're saying because we're focused on the wrong things. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to title this morning, Baking Bread for the World. Baking Bread for the World. We're going to talk about the vulnerable, the warning, and the meal. First, the vulnerable. Jesus has a reputation of ministering to the vulnerable. He has a reputation of ministering to those who are disenfranchised, maybe marginalized, maybe weak. And Jesus, here, who is the vulnerable? It's the disciples. Typically, we look at those who are vulnerable to the things of the enemy, to the things of the world, and we're looking at those out there. And yet, Jesus has got a tight-knit group of people right here. They've left their homes. They've left their families. They've traveled with Jesus. They've sacrificed much. They're in the boat with Jesus. In fact, when Jesus turns his back on the Pharisees, gets in his boat and goes to the other side, they're in the boat. They've made an agreement. They've made a decision to follow Jesus, and they are the ones most at risk in this moment. They're the ones who are vulnerable. In fact, the disciples are so focused on their need. And it's interesting, even this morning, you might be distracted by what you're going to have for lunch or who's going to play football tonight or this afternoon or at 1 o'clock. And we might miss what God's trying to say right here. I'm guilty of that, right? I'm thinking about something else, and God's speaking something right here. In fact, he's using bread as imagery, and they're thinking about they're hungry. You ever done that? Just miss the whole point. I'm scared. You're missing the point. God wants to encounter you, right? That was the point. And yet we miss it. We're so letting our appetites and the next meal, and this was not an unfounded worry for them. They were leaving one side of the lake, get to the other. They were here with the Pharisees, planning on spending some time in this region, buying bread. Jesus immediately gets in the boat. He goes back to the other side, and they don't have anything to eat. They don't know how long it's going to take. They don't know once they get to the other side if there will be a town there. This is a rural part of the Sea of Galilee. This is a legitimate concern. You might have a legitimate concern for your needs this morning and miss what God's trying to speak to you. Are you listening through the lens of your trial, through the lens of your cravings, through the lens of what's going on in your soul that you're missing what God's saying in the earth? I'm guilty of that. We bring our pain to Jesus, and he's speaking about something else, and all we can hear is our pain. In fact, he might be around about touching the very thing we need to be spoken to. It's interesting here that what's in the disciples' mind is worry, fear, anxiety, right? They're worried about what they're going to eat. They're afraid they might get rebuked. They're anxious about when their next meal is going to come. And they can't hear what God's saying. They are, as a matter of fact, the most at risk for what Jesus is describing here. They are vulnerable. If you take out fear, anxiety, worry, if you take that out of the culture, you've got no political thrust, do you? All of our political systems on every side of the spectrum, this is what's driving it. Fear, anxiety, worry. Be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. We don't have bread. We're above this, aren't we? We don't think about that. We don't have toilet paper. We don't have lumber. We don't have fuel. The supply chain, inflation. Man, We're so worried about what's in front of us that we might be missing. What is God doing bigger than these things? Is God shaking a nation to open our eyes to look beyond our present crisis and our present needs? Man, I want TP just as much as anybody. But I don't want it so bad that I miss what God's doing. That's why we fast, and we're coming on to January at the beginning of every year. We, as a church, we fast. Why do we fast? That to show us that my appetites, my cravings, my orientations, the things that I want are not God. God is God. And I put my cravings to the side for the glory of Jesus. Do I want to fast? No. Man, I've already got my holiday weight, and it's just not November. I feel it, you know. I asked Michelle she said there was a way you could move my scale to lose like 3 pounds. I was like, where is that? How do you do that? I was trying to move it. I put it in the wrong place again. Right? I want to eat, but I love this warning Paul gives in Philippians chapter 3, if I can find it. There it is. For many of you whom I have often told you and now tell again with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. And with minds set on earthly things. That's exactly what Jesus is critiquing here. Your mind is setting on earthly things. Your God is your stomach. It doesn't say they're enemies of Jesus. It says they're enemies of the cross of Christ. You know what their enemies are? I don't want to suffer, and I'll do anything to keep from suffering. And here's Jesus, and he's trying lovingly, caringly. Guys, we're going to suffer. And as we march through Mark chapter 8, you're going to realize this is the story that Jesus is trying to prepare them for. What a loving Father to slowly help us that if we fix our hope on what's right in front of us, what we can taste and see and smell, we're going to miss. We're going to jump ship before we see what God's doing. We're vulnerable. We're vulnerable. Skipped a page. There it is. All right. Second thing we see is the warning. Now, Jesus says, beware, look out. Paul said it in another way. If you think you stand, take heed lest ye fall. That we are vulnerable to this attack. And what does he say? What is the attack? The leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. What is leaven? Leaven in the Old Testament was a picture of sin. Jesus called it hypocrisy. He also called it the teaching of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. It's something that we get that gets in the lump of dough and permeates the entire thing. It's influence. It puffs up bread to make it good, to make it fluffy, to make it moist and delicious. This is what leaven does. It makes stuff rise. So here Paul is, let's be careful about the influence of the Pharisees. And we talked about this a little bit last week, but this is anything that we put in, that we rise our hopes in other than the gospel. We put our hope in our religious activity. We put our hope in what we've done. Maybe if I've read my Bible, if I do religious things, then I'm doing well and God must favor me. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. What that produces is two things. Either I'm good at keeping the rules, so it rises pride in my heart. I'm better than them. I wish you would get on the program and start doing what I'm doing. Or if I'm not good at keeping the rules, right? Everybody not being good at keeping the rules, I'm humiliated. I'm destroyed. I'm walking around with depression and fear. And Jesus is saying, look, there is a way different than the leaven of the Pharisees, than religious activity. If you put your faith and your hope and your ability to keep the rules, you will be desperately insecure. That's not Jesus' message. Jesus' message isn't be religious. His message is beware of the religious. And he said, also beware of Herod. Now, Herod It was interesting. He was the political power of the time. He had partnered with Rome. He wasn't even full Jew. He was half Jew at best. And here he was, the people, beware of the leaven, beware of the influence of the politically elite. That's where the Herodians were. And Jesus is saying, let's be careful that we don't put our hope in political power. Look, I don't know if y'all know this. We had this weird election this past week, kind of off the books, kind of weird, out of ordinary. And we've got some big elections coming. And before the waves and the floods start coming, let me just encourage you, don't put your hope in man. Don't hitch your wagon to some political party or some political figure. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. If a political party rises your faith and your church and your belief, it will come down just as fast. The good news of the gospel is that it is permeating every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. And if we hook the gospel with the leaven of politics, what's going to happen when we start marching with the good news of Jesus into every tribe and tongue and people and nation? Look, I don't care if you're mad at me today. I honestly don't, because the waves are coming. The flood will rise. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be too late in that moment. If you haven't put your faith in Christ alone, Blake, are you saying we shouldn't vote? Not at all. You saying we shouldn't have political opinions? Not at all. I think you should be passionate about the things that God is passionate about, but don't put your hope in man. It's okay. Beware, Jesus said. He's talking to people in this room. Beware of the leaven, of the influence of the Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? Man, they're the conservatives at the time. Beware of Herod. Who are they? They're the progressives. He's saying, beware. Don't put your hope in them. Put your hope in me. Does that make you uncomfortable? I told you I'd step on your toes. And you know what's interesting about these two? They start to overlap in our culture. And Leslie Newbegin, I think it was him that talked about this, that the rise of the political religions. That when you push out God from the culture, God doesn't go away. He just reverses. The God of this age just masquerades as a political religion. And then we give our allegiance to these things. That's not Jesus. Wholesale. There was a guy by the name of Derek Brooks. He writes. He's a political commentator. He was born Jewish and came to faith actually pretty recently. And he writes for some popular newspapers and magazines. And he said he was talking to a news executive, and he said, we were putting out our news feeds, and we would put our logo in the corner of the screen. And people would watch our news on their TVs 24 hours a day, that the logo would literally get seared into the TV. They couldn't watch anything else. If they turned to another channel, the logo would still be there. And so what we decided was we moved the logo around the screen so we didn't mess people's TVs up. And here's the reality. We have so plugged in to the narratives of the world, it's searing into everything that we see. We can't even talk about bread. And we're freaking out. Who's got the bread? No, I'm trying to talk to you about something deeper than bread. But you said bread, and that's all I can hear, because it's seared into your mind. If you think we can sit and just sit in social media alike, and just be inundated with the same messages, the same narrative, and doesn't think that's going to twist how you see the world, we're fools. Beware. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and that of Herod. You've got religious, conservative, all these things that are good, and then you go on this side, and all these things that are good, and but they're twisted, they're working for something else other than the glory of Jesus. Beware. The vulnerable, the warning, and finally the meal. The meal. What's at stake? The bread for the world. If teachings and philosophies of the Pharisees and Herod are leaven, then what is the bread? What is the bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Then what's being baked? What's rising? What is God making? Well, I think, first of all, it's very clear that the bread is Christ himself. That when we present Christ to the world, is the leaven of the Pharisees in there? It's faith in Christ alone and, or is it faith in Christ alone? What are we baking in the message of Jesus? Is it the gospel alone that you and I were born sinners under the law? Or outside of the law, sinners by our own confession, that we need a Savior? That's Christ alone who can save us, that the Pharisees don't see it, and as we saw in this parable, the disciples don't even see it, that only God can open your eyes to the beauty of Christ? That it's a miracle that you even see Jesus? That you can comprehend that you need a Savior and that Jesus died for your sins? That's a miracle, the Bible says. Here the disciples are in their midst and they don't see it. They're worried, they're stressed, they're anxious because they don't see that Jesus is in their boat. The God of the universe who can multiply bread, who can feed the world, who can raise the dead, who can heal the sick. He's in their boat and they're worried about bread. How much bread did it take to feed the 5,000? Well, there was 5 loaves. Then how much was left over? Well, there was 12 basketfuls. Why do you think Jesus was getting so specific about this? Here's why. If you remember 2 weeks ago, Betty was talking about the feeding of the 4,000. The feeding of the 4,000 was in a predominantly Gentile area. And the feeding of the 5,000 was a predominant Jewish area. And so what is Jesus communicating? He's saying, look, I'll take the gospel and we'll break it for the Jew. And there'll be 12 baskets full. There'll be 12 tribes of Israel. I've come, what I'm going to do is going to provide salvation for all of Israel. All 12 tribes, all of Israel will be covered. And when I come and I feed the Gentiles, there'll be 7 baskets. All of creation, the 7 days of creation, will hear the glory of God. See, the bread of the world that God is baking is for every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. That's you. That's me. The bread we're breaking is not just for Americans. It's not just for me and my people. It's for the world. Do you not understand? You're going to bake in your Pharisaical perspective and try to send it to the world? Don't do that. You're going to bake in your Herodian perspective and send it to, don't do that. Send Christ. Christ alone. Faith alone. Repentance. Christ alone. Not your political opinion. Not your religious mindset. Not your traditions. Christ alone. And it will permeate every corner of the earth. But see, we cannot separate the bread of the gospel and the bread of who's bringing the gospel. Who we are matters. The bread that God's baking in your life is important. What is bread? Bread is flour. What is flour? Well, this is what they do. They plant wheat and they put it in the ground and it grows up and it produces a head. And then they take this head of wheat and they harvest it and they put all this wheat in this area called a threshing floor. And typically they'd get oxen or heavy animals and they get it to walk over the wheat. And it would just pound that wheat down because there was wheat and there was chaff around the seed. And through that pounding, through that weight, through that persecution, the chaff, what's pure and what's not pure, would begin to be separated. You ever feel like you've been walked on before? Ever feel like you've been feeling the weight of the world on you? God's just trying to separate what's not from him from what is from him. And he's walking on it, he's breaking it up, and he's churning the wheat, and he's trying to purify you. And then he comes by, the Bible says, with a winnowing fork. And the wind, on a windy day, like yesterday and today, they go to the top of a hill, and they take all this wheat and all this chaff together, and then they start throwing it in the air. You ever felt tossed about? Ever feel like you don't know which way sideways and which ways you've just been tossed, and God is separating the fire and the wheat from the chaff. The chaff is thrown and you light a fire where the wind is blowing so that the chaff is burned and the wheat falls to the ground. You're like, praise God, man, I went through that trial and the chaff is moved away and I'm wheat. And then God takes that wheat to the mill and he puts it in this thing and then he starts grinding it. He starts working it out. He starts putting us through trials and testing. And that wheat starts getting ground down. And depending on what you're baking depends on how fine the wheat is. Is it wheat for the king? Or is it the wheat or for the commoner? Well, that makes a big difference. Wheat for the king is fine wheat. Right? It's that cake flour. We're going to keep working that stuff. And so what God is doing, you're saying, Blake, I've been in the grinder for too long. Well, that's because what God's doing in you is for noble purposes. It's for significant things. See, God is trying to separate what's true and what's not true. He's trying to work in us a powder, a flour for his glory so that he can bake it in. And you're not done. And he puts you in the oven. Right? He mixes you around with some oil and some water, his anointing. He starts stirring that around and then he sticks it into the oven. Turns up the heat. And bake something beautiful. See, here's what God, Jesus is saying. He's saying, guys, you guys are going to feed the world. Don't let the leaven, don't let these temporary things right in front of you're hungry miss what I'm doing in the world. I'm doing something in the world. I'm doing something in your city. It's bigger than ECU. It's bigger than your classes. I'm changing the world. Do you realize that in the last 2 years, the world will never be the same? There's a significant shift. Just like 9/11 happened, changed everything. These are cultural shifts. And if we're worried about where my bread's coming from, we're going to miss what God wants to do with us in the world. And here he is, baking bread. But we got to be careful what gets in here. Is it the leaven of the Pharisees? Is that going to get in? Are you going to be religious and miss and so stuck to tradition that you miss what Jesus is doing? Are you going to adopt the worldly way of seeing things, sexual immorality, things that were all a part of what Herod was a part of? He didn't care what the law said. He was going to do what he wanted to do. I'll kill my brother. I'll take his wife. I will define sexuality like I want. No, it's not Pharisee. It's not Herod. It's got to be the gospel alone. And Jesus was very interested in how he's doing this. He is letting the disciples see that there are extremes. There are things that on both sides of this thing that we got to be careful about. When we're baking bread for the glory of God and for the ends of the earth, it better be the bread of heaven. It better be the gospel alone. Beware. Do you want to know how the gospel spreads throughout the whole world? Not political power. Never has. Persecution. Trial. Jesus is just warming them up. Because the end of this chapter, spoiler alert, he tells them, I'm going to suffer and die. And they say, never, God. You know what he says? Get behind me, Satan. If you think what God wants to do in the earth is going to come without us laying down our lives, laying down what we want, then we don't know the gospel. How are you saved? God suffered. How are you saved? God suffered and died for your sins and rose from the dead for your sanctification, proving he was the Son of God. It's not going to come without a price. It's not going to come without bread. It's not going to come without the grinding of flour, the baking of bread. But we must be careful that we don't let the leaven of the world mess up what God's doing in our souls and in our church. Let's be on our guard. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I'll be the first to say, Father, this is not an easy word. But I'm grateful that you warned us. You warned us against the temptations of hitching our wagon and putting our hope in the systems of the world. We put our hope in Christ alone. Jesus Christ dying for me and for you. If you're in here this morning and you have not put your faith in Jesus alone for your salvation, not your good works, but in Christ alone, and you're ready to do that this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Raise it high so I can see it. I want to pray for you. You can put your hands down. If you raised your hand this morning, I want you to say, Jesus, forgive me for trusting in myself and rejecting you with my life. I put my faith in Christ alone today. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for putting the things of this world above you. Come, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need your help. If you're in here this morning and you're saying, Blake, I have been leavened by the Pharisees and Herod, and I just feel the Holy Spirit touching some specific things in my life, saying, Blake, I put my hope in the things of this world more than I put my hope in God. And I want to repent this morning. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hands to the Lord. I want to pray for you. Amen. All over this room. Lord, you see these hands. If you're raising your hand, you can put those down. I want you to pray this with me. Father, forgive me for putting my hope in anything but you. I put my hope this morning in Jesus and the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Forgive me. I receive your forgiveness this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning as we close. I'm going to